Hi, good afternoon. Get ready to laugh and learn here on Good News in Real Estate. I'm Mark Cumberland, along with my co-host today, Stephanie Burke, filling in for the very sick Deanne Katsaris. We're here every week on Good News in Real Estate on WWDB. This is the 391st show. If you want to ask us a question, give us a call. My number is 267-266-5501. Give out your number, Steph.
267-320-6262.
And we're here every week to keep you informed on real estate and help you with any of your real estate needs, mortgage needs, commercial needs. And you can listen to this show and all the other shows at our webpage or at WWDB's podcast. And you're allowed to call us. So tell us what's coming up today, Steph.
So on today's show, we have the market report sponsored by the Philadelphia Real Estate Classes. Get your license now. We have Mark's funny story.
Got one for you.
Good. Then we have our questions of the day.
And what are they?
First question, my business requires that I be in touch with the listing agent for various properties. What is the best way to find the actual listing agent or broker?
That's a good one.
Is it reasonable to ask for concessions once the offer has been put in?
All right.
Getting ready to buy a house and found out it has a radon level at 4.5. I'm being told that it can be fixed. Do I fix it or do I walk away?
Good one.
Divorcing a husband does not want it, and he does not want to have a short sale. We are underwater. What can I do? I own a third of a condo left to me by my late husband, and I no longer can afford to maintain the apartment. I wish to sell it. My husband's children do not wish to sell. What are my options in this situation?
That's a little complicated question there.
Yes, it is.
And what's the topic today?
So today's topic is the escalation clause. But first, Mark, give us a motivational quote.
I will. And this escalation clause is something that we're going to have a serious talk about with this market. Actually, we're going to talk about it at our meeting next week.
It's a good topic.
But the motivational quote today is, time is the scarcest resource. And unless you use it, unless it is managed, I screwed that one up. Time is the scarcest resource, and unless it's managed, nothing else can be managed.
80-20.
That's right. You got to stay in the 20%. So with that, you're listening to Good News in Real Estate, all positive all the time here on WWDB 860. With that, we'll be right back.
Attention golfers! On Monday, June 12th, the John Fox Scholarship Fund is holding its 28th annual golf outing at Five Ponds Golf Club on Street Road in Warminster. The money raised helps union members and their children with the cost of a college education. The outing is sponsored by the Philadelphia Joint Board of Workers United and is a four-player scramble format. $150 per golfer includes your green fees and cart, a hot dog lunch at the snack shop, a bucket of balls at the driving range, beer and soda on the course, a two-hour open bar, dinner with prizes and awards, and a gift for each golfer. And the best part is you don't need to be a scratch golfer to join in the fun. For more information on registration, please contact the Philadelphia Joint Board at 215-751-9770. That's 215-751-9770. So polish your clubs and get ready for a great time on the links with your friends, raising money for a worthy cause.
A study conducted by the National Association of Realtors and Google found that over 90% of people looking for a new home start online. If someone in your network is looking for a house right now, they'll probably go to a listing service online. But what if they thought of you first? All real estate agents know they need a strong, consistent presence on social media these days. City Blast is the largest social media management company in the world for real estate agents. As often as you choose and customize to your market, City Blast social experts post articles, videos, listings, and information to your Facebook, Facebook fan page, Twitter, and LinkedIn accounts. They've helped over 8,000 agents get leads through social media with their patented Never Lose a Lead service and can help you build your social media profile and market your listings online. Find them online at cityblast.com or call 1-888-712-7888. Again, that's cityblast.com or 1-888-712-7888.
All right, welcome back to Good News in Real Estate, all positive all the time here on WWDB 860 AM. Before I do that, let me introduce Stephanie Burke.
Hello.
Hi, how are you, Steph?
I'm doing great. How
doing
are you?
Doing us a big favor, filling in for Deanne, who is really sick.
We wish you well, Deanne.
Yeah, she'll get better, but she's really sick. So I appreciate you sitting in today and helping us out with this show. So where are we at, Steph?
The market report.
And there's the bell. So this is going to be a tough house hunting season for buyers. And I'll tell you, this market is really getting harder and harder and harder. And it's going to keep getting brutal for a while, I think. It's particularly brutal for those who are not prepared, not totally pre-approved, not totally ready to go, and have weak agents. Agents that just do whatever buyers tell them to do and don't fight back.
Because, can't be afraid to say no.
All right? Because if you're out there bidding on properties in this market, and that just, for example, a house is $200,000, and you think you're just going to say, well, let's start at $190,000 and see what happens. You're going to be writing a lot of contracts.
Yes.
Because that is not going to work. Because if it's priced right and shows right, it's gone. So you really need to be careful. And statistically, we talk about this in real estate school. You know, we talk about this in real estate school that most buyers hire the first agent they run into, the first realtor with a pulse.
Yes.
And you really should not do that in this market, because you need somebody strong, somebody that can fight with you and make sure that you're going to win. Because it doesn't matter, keep writing contracts if you don't get the house.
Okay.
And so it's going to be a tough market. So while the competition and prices have rapidly been rising in the real estate market across the country, buyers are facing major obstacles to land their dream home. Open houses are jammed. Bidding wars are the new normal. Homes are selling for well above asking prices. Like, if I always watch what happens in California, because whatever happens in California happens in our market about 8 to 9 months later.
Interesting.
And in California, they're already using escalation clauses. They're coming in way above full price. It's ridiculous. You know, and even in the high end stuff, people like the $1 million houses, they're coming in like way above it. So you got to be really careful what's going on. The home prices in the city have seen double digits growth in some areas, according to CoreLogic. This one expert said it's the craziest market he's ever seen. Now, me and Al and Stassen, our broker, we were talking, had lunch the other day, and we were talking about this market back in like 2002, 2003. How long have you had a license?
1997.
Oh, well, you're in. You're all right. But there's a lot of agents. I'm going to talk about this at next week's meeting. That got licenses after like 2005 that never been in a market like this before. And they're probably going to struggle with it
yeah.
a little bit, because they need some little training for that. And that's what we're all about. So we're going to talk about two of those things next week. And so anyway, you have to have very qualified buyers, and because there's a very low amount of houses for sale. In fact, in our market, we're under a 4 month supply. A normal housing market is a 6 month supply of inventory. We're under like 3.5 months.
Wow.
That's how bad it is. It's actually a good thing in a way. It's going to make things harder. So it's going to be an intense housing season, especially for younger buyers, the millennials that are getting in. You know, they don't have any history of this. So they're going to think they're going to be able to, like, you know, negotiate and wheel and deal. And you don't have time to wheel and deal. You might go out and look at a house, and it's gone. You know, well, we're going to go home and think about it overnight. Yeah, well, overnight was too long. Yeah, it's pending. So I had an agent ask me today before we went away to the studio about, she had a listing, she had a showing, she had an offer that they're thinking about closing, and another buyer wants to come tonight, and should I let them see the house? I said, did you close the deal? Technically, no. Well, then you got to let them in. But, like, once you sign, it's over.
Right.
And a lot of buyers think that this is going to go back and forth and back and forth. You usually get, like, one shot at it now. There's not that much negotiating back and forth.
No.
No.
And that's where the escalation clause comes in.
That's right.
As a buyer's agent.
That's right. And so, and as a listing agent, I actually like it, because if I got a really good listing and I get six offers, I look at who they're with, the bank, their credit, I look at their income, the kind of, who's the agent. I look at the whole picture, and then I pick one.
Yeah.
And it's over. There is no going back. If I got full price or above, it's over. So So the millennials are the largest group of home buyers, according to Ellie Mae, software company that analyzes mortgage data. The millennials represent about 45% of all the purchase loans with this company. And many more, and expect many more millennial house owners jumping to market in spring and summer. But their path to home ownership is going to be a little tough because of this inventory issue. Money's pretty loose. It's inventory. So most of them are first-time home buyers. They're competing against repeat buyers who have been buying, have buying leverage and experience and are not going to make some mistakes. And especially they might have an agent if their agent stayed in touch with them. And so it's going to be a little difficult for them. They need strong agents. And some of them don't want to really commit to an agent.
Right.
And in reality, it's a mistake. You should shop for a really good agent and not, you know, call one off a sign. That's how most buyers get their agent. They ride around, they see a number, they call a sign, they get somebody. We teach the students this. And you get somebody that got no training sitting on a floor answering calls.
Right.
And now they got a pulse and they're your agent, you know? So the shortage of available home prices are going to drive up the price. Starter homes are going to be tougher to get. Like I got one right now. This house was, I won't mention no names, but they're looking for a particular house up in Bucks County, right? And we're in like the 350s. So this house was listed for 360. Had everything my buyer wanted, right? But he's stubborn. He's a good friend, but he's stubborn. He wants to fight. You know, he wants to fight. 350, it's not worth no more than 350. And I'll say, based on what? Well, that's what I feel, you know. Come here. So anyway, I said, you want this house? I mean, $10,000 at 4% over 30 years. On a 30-year mortgage you're not going to have for 30 years, you get the house for another few bucks a month.
Right.
No, 350. So you got to do, I'm a buyer agent. I have to do what he says, even though I fought, though. So I write the deal for, I'm writing it up for 350. I call the agent. He goes, Mark, I already got a 350. He goes, I'm waiting for a 360. So I go back to my buyer. I said, agent told me he's got a 350 already, and he's waiting for a 360. This thing was on the market 2 days, and then we were like the ninth showing. That's a clue.
Yeah.
So I fight to get the 356, right? So this is a weird story. This is like the kind of weird stuff that's going on.
It's a nail fighter.
The 360 heard there was multiple bids and thought somebody went over 360 and withdrew their offer, and we won.
You got lucky.
Yeah. And I told him, I said, you got lucky. I said, so, you know, he don't know how lucky he got.
Right.
Because now you got to find that house again. And he has to have a pool. You had pool.
Yeah.
You got a very short list to look at.
You absolutely
did. We got really lucky. Yeah. So, but that agent now, that person that had that 360, they had a weak agent, or that agent didn't do something right. That agent didn't quiz the other agent. Now, they're not allowed to tell you everything that's going on, but there's ways to ask. It's the same with appraisers, you know? Like you say, well, you got something that's higher than 360?
Right.
No. You got something higher than, like, 355? Maybe. You know, you got, you know, give me a... There's ways to get around it.
Don't you think the escalation clause takes a lot of that away?
If, yes, it could help.
Yeah.
But most agents don't even know what an escalation clause is.
I know.
So that's the problem. And explaining that to the buyers, that's the topic of the day. But anyway, that's the scenario we're in. So since, now you can read why, who that was brought to our segment.
This segment was sponsored by the Philadelphia Real Estate Classes. Get your real estate license now, 215-335-6919, or online at philadelphiarealestateclasses.com. We also have a new location in Mount Airy.
That's right. And Steph, you just got a couple really great reviews on teaching. Yeah. You and, did you see that one Jake got too? He got
a great
review. And Trent got one too. So what are the rates like? Read us the rates.
So the 30-year fixed rate is 4.25%. And then we have the 30-year fixed rate on the FHA is 4.5%. Your 30-year fixed rate on VA is 4%. And a 15-year fixed rate is 3.625%. And your 7-in-1 ARM is 3.75%.
Now, these rates, that rate, that FHA rate's almost where we were 2 years ago. Now, they're talking, the Fed's meeting in a month, and they're talking about the rates are going to go up. But they said that a couple months ago, too.
Yeah.
And they actually went back down.
Right.
The economy's in really good shape. Jobs report just came in. I read an article today here about how the economy is just booming. People are really feeling confident. So I think the rates are going to be good for a while. And even if you get to 5 in a year or so.
It's still good.
5. I was 13 the first time I bought. 13%. All right, so here's the story. So this burglar, right, he breaks into a house one night. He shines a flashlight around a room looking for valuables, and he hears a voice in the dark that says, "Jesus knows you're here." He nearly jumps out of his skin. He clicks his flashlight off. He freezes. When he heard nothing more, he shook his head. He continued. Just as he pulled the stereo up out of the unit and he was starting to disconnect the wires, he heard a bell. Clear as a bell, he heard, "Jesus is watching you." Startled again, he shines the light around the room, frantically looking for the source of the voice. Finally, in the corner of the room, his flashlight beam comes to rest on a parrot. He goes, "Did you say that?" And he hissed at the parrot. The parrot says, "Yes." He goes, "I'm just trying to warn you that he's watching you." The burglar's warned me. He goes, "Warn me, huh? Who in the world are you?" He goes, "I'm Moses." He goes, "Moses? What kind of people would name a parrot Moses?" He says, "The same kind of people would name a Rottweiler Jesus."
That's a good one.
All right. Well, you can delete there.
So if you have a funny story you'd like to hear on our show, send it to 8029 at comcast.net or give us a call at 267-266-5501.
All right, so with that, you're listening to Good News in Real Estate, all positive all the time. We'll be right back with the questions after this.
Hi, this is Mark Cumberland from Good News in Real Estate Show. I also represent buyers and sellers in the residential and commercial market. My number is 267-266-5501. I have years of experience dealing with buyers and sellers and teaching real estate. Just so you know, it's probably the best time to buy since the 50s. The consumer index is so low, along with the rates, it makes it cheaper to buy today than in 1989. If you're thinking of selling, don't wait. Prices are going up and there's a lack of inventory. Call me. I will help you with your real estate needs. My number is 267-266-5501.
All right, welcome back to Good News in Real Estate, all positive all the time here on WWDB 860. And we're here with Stephanie Burke.
Hello.
Real estate agent extraordinaire. She's a real estate instructor. She teaches at the Philadelphia real estate classes. You like teaching too, don't you?
I love it.
She loves the students.
I do.
She's really so warm and fuzzy, like me.
Yeah, I am.
But we've been having pretty good classes, and like today, I had about 35 of them call me. So, you know, the class is coming up in May. When's your next class? 2 weeks?
June, I think the
first. You got a class going on, right?
Yes, it graduates this weekend.
Oh, this weekend.
Mm-hmm. And then there's 2 weeks off because of Memorial Day.
That's good. That's good. You just need the break.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right, we're at the question. So what's the first question?
So the first question is, my business requires that I be in touch with the listing agents for various properties. What is the best way to find the actual listing broker or agent?
Their business requires that they be in touch with listing agents for various properties. I don't know what they do. I don't know. I don't know what the answer to that question is, but I'm guessing here. Well, for whatever reason, they have to track down the actual listing agent.
Maybe they're like a foreclosure specialist or something?
I don't know. A wholesaler working for a wholesaler or something.
Yeah.
But the best way to find the actual listing broker, well, there's got to be a way that they know that this place is listed, for one.
Right.
So it's either got a sign and you call the office. If they're working for some kind of outfit that has access to the MLS,
it shouldn't be that big
of a deal. But, I mean, now, unless they're talking about properties that are not listed, they have, but they say listed. That's what's
right.
weird about this question.
How would I be in touch with listing agents?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Usually it's signs. You call the office, and they're going to hook you up with the listing agent. I mean, most companies do. They don't keep that a secret, you know.
Yeah, but, I mean, maybe they're thinking, like, if they're on Zillow or on some public site.
Oh, that could be it.
Yeah.
So the house comes up, and then it's got somebody's picture next to it that's
right.
not the listing agent because that agent bought an ad in Zillow.
Right.
Yeah, I don't like that. I know our office does big-time Zillow stuff, but, like, me personally as a listing agent, I hate when, like, somebody else's head's standing next to my listing.
You can claim your listings on Zillow.
Yeah, I know.
And so if there's four agents there, the top agent is the listing agent.
Right, right. But we spend a lot of money in our office,
yeah.
Like $12,000 a month or $14,000 a month now on Zillow.
Yes.
And so we rank up real high. It's just like, that's 80% for me. I'll list the house, but I don't know. Anyway, so what's the next question?
The next question is it reasonable to ask for concessions once the offer has been put in?
It all depends. I mean, what kind of, you know, what is the concession? Is it appliances? Is it money? Once your offer is submitted, once it's accepted,
right,
that's a risk.
Well, there are two different scenarios.
That's
there.
Right.
If an offer is put in or if an offer is accepted.
But that's always a confusing to buyers.
Right.
The terminology. Like if you submit an offer and it's not executed by all the parties and you're still negotiating.
Right.
Now, the one thing you got to remember, especially in this type of market, so say you did, they did it. Say the house was $100,000, right? And it was accepted. They put in an offer for $100,000 and they accepted it. And now these buyers are sitting around and thinking. And they were like, you know, we would like the washer, dryer, and the refrigerator included, whatever the concession is. And they ask for it. And you do kind of take a chance of tinkering with your contract.
Right.
Because if you tinker with that contract before it's totally closed and not do it after the fact with an addendum, every time you change that contract, that original contract is dead.
It's gone, yeah.
And then that's a new contract. So then you got then you always have the problem that a buyer can go home and get buyer's remorse and sit around and think about this thing and then want to change their mind. And because now they have to re-sign and they don't want to re-sign. So now the deal's dead.
Right.
Like I had agents do that to me sometimes because I'll handwrite my contracts and the high S's and C's want everything really neat. How about if I just retype it all for us so it'll be nice and neat? No. Because now I got to go back and get everybody signed and anybody changes their mind, they're out. Now, if there was something I wanted to tinker with after the fact, then we do what's called an addendum to the agreement of sale after the fact.
Right.
But the initial agreement of sale is going to be intact as we go forward, and maybe we can negotiate something by addendum. But we're not going to tinker in the beginning.
Yeah, but this specifically says once the offer's been put in. So, I'm
yeah, but put in, put in, could they just
it.
Submit it?
Right.
And then they call them up before they closed it. Or put in could be they did it and executed, and then that's two different issues.
Right.
That's why you need a good agent.
Yep.
Because some agents tinker, and then every time you tinker, there's an opening. What's the next one?
The next question is, getting ready to buy a house and found it has radon at a 20.5 level.
I thought it was supposed to be 4-something.
I think it's 4.5, actually.
Yeah, it's 4.5.
Yeah. So I'm being told that it can be fixed. Do I fix it or do I walk away?
It's interesting. I had a radon issue not that long ago up in Cheltenham. When I first got my license, they hardly ever talked about radon. We used to hear like it was like something that happened up in the counties.
The Reading Prong.
Yeah. Like I never really heard about it.
Yeah.
And then like after we started getting aware of it, there's certain neighborhoods that really have high radons. East Falls has it. Bridesburg has it.
Cheltenham's definitely one.
Cheltenham has it. There's neighborhoods out in the city. Certain neighborhoods have higher levels, and it's a radioactive gas that comes from decaying things and out of rocks and stones out of the ground. So anyway, I had this house in Cheltenham, right? And they did a radon test. They put the thing in the house to test it, and you're supposed to keep the house sealed for 48 hours so you get a good reading. And it came back 4.0. Now, 4.0 is that's right on the line. That's
right
on the line. That's right on the line. Do you remediate? And remediation on radon, they run a tube into the basement with their little fans to kick on every once in a while and circulates
the
air, and it takes it up the stack and out away from the house. So it comes back 4.0, and the buyer wants a remediation, which costs between $800 and $1,400,
yeah.
Right? So I happened to be talking to my seller. He goes, I thought when they put the radon thing in the house, nobody was like, they're supposed to be opening doors. I goes, no. He goes, well, they did the home inspection at the same time, and everybody, they had every door open. They were running in and out.
Right.
So I said, really? So I called them up, and they retested, and it came back 2-0. So then I was like, wait a minute, 2-0? And they had the doors open. So I called the radon guy up, and I talked to him. He goes, oh, it was coming out of the lawn. I said, it was coming out of the lawn? And he says, yeah. He goes, because the doors were open, all the radon gas was coming in the house. So I was the first time I ever heard that before. So I said, well, let me get this straight. So if my kids are, like, crawling around on the grass outside, is that an issue? He goes, oh, no, that's not an issue. I said, but it's that strong that 4-0 came in the house, but laying on the grass is not an issue? And he told me, no. I don't know about that. But that's the first time I ever had that happen, where it was coming from the outside in. Usually it's coming up out of the basement somewhere.
Yeah. Or granite countertops emit radon, too. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah.
See? I learned something today.
Yes, you did.
Granite brings radon, really?
Well, you have to figure it's a stone from
that's
the earth.
That's stone, that's true.
You know, so.
All right, what's the next one?
Oh, so the next one is, she's divorcing and her husband does not want to have a short sale. They are underwater. What can she do?
This is a problem. They're getting divorced, and there's probably lawyers involved. The court order, if a judge orders the sale, they're going to have to go through with it, and it's going to be very messy. And if they're underwater, it's going to a lot that is going to depend on who the lender is.
Right.
If it's a friendly lender that is willing to work with you, if it's one of the big ones that start with a B or a W, you might have some problems because they're not just going to wipe away 40, 50 grand as a favor. Because that's why they got sued, because a lot of people went back in the day when we had a lot more foreclosures, they all walked away from the table without a satisfaction.
Well, I mean, the husband could buy her out if he doesn't want to do a short sale.
Right.
You know?
As long as he's got enough equity and everything else there to do it, there's a couple solutions to the problem. But but if they're that far underwater, which now they shouldn't be. They should, unless they really went crazy. They should have caught up over the last few years. But if they're slightly underwater, maybe 10, 20 grand, if it's a reasonable lender, you might be able to work it out with them.
Right.
Because they'd rather not go. See, there's a lot of people out there have these myths about I know one right now. And they said to me, we're just going to give it back to the bank. Like, you every once in a while you hear this stuff.
Yes.
And, like, they don't want it. Like, I said, what makes you think the bank wants your house? What are they going to do with it? I said, it's a hassle for them. They do not want your house.
Right.
Well, we figured we'll just give it back to them. That's not a good plan. It's right away, right out of the gate, add like $6,000 to $10,000 in legal fees as soon as this foreclosure starts.
Right.
So now you got that on top of what you owed. So, you know, you're better off having a plan, contact an agent, see what the scenario is, and get somebody good, and maybe you can negotiate your way out of it.
I just wrote a letter for one of my clients, similar situation, appraisal came in short, and, you know, she's just not going to be able to give clear title. You know, now she will if the bank would basically take the principal. There's some late fees. There's all these other kind of fees they have tacked on. So I wrote this very lengthy letter explaining everything, breaking it down, and asking them, you know, if they would just take the actual principal balance as payment in full. So we'll see what happens.
Right. Before the whole short sale thing, and they created an industry out of it, I used to just, when people were short, you know, like, I'm short.
Yeah.
I'm 20 short. I used to just call them up and say, listen, I can settle, but we're like 20 short. And they used to say to me, we want it all. Right. And I'll say, well, you want a piece of the pie or none of the pie? Because I said, I don't know where you're at, but I'm in Philly, and you're not going to sheriff's sale, like, overnight.
Yeah.
This is not Kansas. I said, maybe a year or so or 2 years down the road if they really want to string this out.
Yeah.
So you want a piece of the pie or none of the pie? And I'll say, do you have final say? And then they'd be, hold on. And then finally, I would get to somebody that could give me that payoff.
Right.
And let me walk away with a clear and not owe money. That's what they did to a lot of people, but... Everyone's negotiable, and they're all different.
Yeah.
It all depends on the lender. What's the next one?
So the next one is, I own a third of a condo left to me by my late husband. I can no longer afford to maintain, I guess that's saying the apartment, and she wishes to sell. My husband's children do not wish to sell. What are my options in this situation?
This is a problem. So she owns a third. Mm. So what kind of ownership is that? From glass. Some kind of joint tenancy here.
Yes.
And so this is the problem. This happens down the shore, people with shore homes. Like they chipped in and they bought a house together because, you know, two families couldn't afford it. And then something happens and now you got somebody else in your group that you didn't know or expect to be in your group because they left it to home. But now the only way out of this is either the whole loan's redone and you buy them out.
Right.
Otherwise, you can't get them out of it. Like they're, I don't understand. She can't afford her part of it, I guess. If there's a mortgage, they own one third of the condo left to me by a husband, but it had to be left to them with some kind of note on it.
Well, maybe she's the one living in it.
Yeah. So unless somebody refis this whole thing, there's no way to get them out of the deed.
Right.
You're
going
to have to, unless they gave up their part.
But I mean, she could get an attorney and, you know,
she's definitely going to need a lawyer.
Obviously.
She's definitely going to need a lawyer to do something here. But this is why. Like, he left it to her by will, the one-third part, I guess.
Yes.
That's what I'm getting out of this. So either the children, they don't want to sell, they'd have to buy her out.
Right.
So they either have to do a refi or do something. There's only she should talk to an attorney because she's going to need one. She's going to need one for that.
She can just give it to them.
Yeah, she could. But that would solve the problem as long as they handle that thing and she's off the note.
Right.
So that could be part of it, too. What's the last one?
So the last question is, we plan to put our house on the market by late summer, early fall. We're in the process of painting, remodeling, putting down new carpet, etc. We had a couple who are interested in seeing it now, like within a few days, and I'm hesitant as I'm scared it will put them off if they see it with all of the updating that I want to do to make it market ready. But then I don't want to miss the sales. We really need to sell. Should I go ahead and show them, explaining we're still working on it, or do I tell them to check back in a month or two and hope they haven't found something else?
Yeah, well, if you had a crystal ball, you know the answer to that one. Because, first of all, painting, remodeling is the big question there. Painting and putting down new carpet, I don't think anybody's going to care about.
Right.
But remodeling, what does that mean? Is that new kitchen, new bathroom? Now, if you're doing a whole new kitchen, new bathroom, and you show them plans of what it's going to look like, they might have the vision. You never know. You don't know. Like, I wouldn't worry about it in this market. I'd let them in. I'd show it.
Me too.
Because somebody's buying this baby because there's not much out there. And if you're going to do some painting, remodel, and I would talk to an agent and get some advice of what you're doing before you go ahead and go crazy. But if you have somebody that's really interested due to maybe the neighborhood or something like that, I had a lady one time down near the studio here in Winfield. She knew what these houses were like.
Right.
And it was a big three-story, giant twin. And she wanted to buy it. And I said, well, when do you want to go see it? She goes, I don't want to see it. I just want to buy it. I said, no, you got to go in and look at it. She goes, why? She goes, I'm buying it. I know what I want. I always wanted a house on that block. I don't care what it's like inside because I'm going to redo the whole thing. I want to buy it. I said, I'm going with you to look at it. I am not selling you a house without seeing it. And I ran down there, and she bought it. But she didn't care. She was ready to write the deal.
Yeah.
It happens. You know, it wasn't about money. She had money. She just wanted a house on that block. In this case, I'd show, because I don't think there's too much to fear in this market. You get it in decent shape, it's going to go. So it's
I would show it also.
Yeah, I would show it, though.
I
would take no chances, though, late summer, early fall. Get it done. Get it on the market in case something, you know. Who knows what happens in the future? All right?
Yep, I agree.
So coming up will be our topic of the day.
Great, escalation clause.
All right. So with that, you're listening to Good News in Real Estate, all positive all the time on WWDB. We'll be right back.
National Title Agency, headquartered at 10001 West Lincoln Drive in Marlton, provides the real estate industry with title searches, title commitments, title insurance, and real estate closings throughout the Delaware Valley. National Title's business model and proactive approach to preparing title commitments, preparation for closing, and attention to detail provides the realtor, attorney, mortgage lender, buyer, and seller with an easy, effective, and hassle-free avenue to closing. These standards enable enable you to close loans faster, more effectively, and more efficiently than the competition. National Title's commitment to exceeding expectations, reliability, flexibility, and fast, reliable service has made National Title the choice title insurer for the real estate industry throughout the entire area. Give them a call, 856-596-6550, or visit them online at nationaltitle.net. Closings anytime, anyplace, anywhere. Exceeding your expectations.
All right, welcome back to Good News in Real Estate, all positive all the time here on WWB. And I want to thank Stephanie Burke again for filling in for the very ill and sick Deanne with the flu, So she'll be back shortly. So where are we at?
Our topic of the day, which is escalation clause.
Yeah. Now, the escalation clause, this is interesting because you haven't been hearing about these for a long time, really. I remember back in the market in 2002, 3, 4, really tight sellers markets where you used to hear a little more about this.
Not many agents know about it, though.
I know. Well, it's the 80-20 rule. Like 80% of the agents, you know, a lot of them didn't get trained that great. You know, they do the same thing over and over and over and over and over again.
Right.
And they're kind of like, that's what they do. And then there's 20% that are like a little more sophisticated, and it's just the way it is.
I call this the eBay addendum.
The eBay addendum?
Yeah.
Real estate, an escalation clause is a tool buyers use to outbid competitors on coveted homes. This is the way to stay in the game.
Right.
Rather than just submit your offer and cross your fingers because there's five offers, this is a way to stay in the game.
Or overpay right from the bat.
Right. It could happen.
Right.
So, say you find a home of your dreams and a crowded open house, right? And you know the next day's offer deadline will likely have multiple bids. So your agent tells you a generous but fair offer would be $200,000. You don't want to miss out, but you also don't want to overpay. And you could spend up to $215,000 if you had to go. Because the one thing that buyers miss in this whole thing is, like, $5,000 over 30 years at 4% is nothing.
Right.
That's a few bucks a month. And you're not going to have that mortgage for 30 years.
Well, I do both estimate of closing costs to show them the difference in the payment.
Right. You know. And then the other thing here is, a lot of them the agents never talk about. So if this house is in Philly and it's listed for $200,000 and we're appreciating at 4 or 5% a year, what's 4 or 5% of $200,000?
Right.
Right. There's the difference right there. 1 year you made it up.
Yeah.
You know? And then they're like, oh. Then it does. Then that $10,000 doesn't look so big.
Right.
You know what I mean? And you won. The key is still to get the house.
Right.
Right? Like the last one I was telling you about, I mean, we sold his. He had no house. He was homeless. Like, you got to win. You need to win. So anyway, here's where the escalation clause comes in. You submit an offer for $200,000, but you stipulate that if anybody beats your offer, you will raise your offer so that it will be $1,000 more than the highest offer with a cap of $215,000.
Right.
That way, if someone bids $210,000, you've already promised the seller that you'd go up to $211,000.
Right.
And you already auto-escalating your bid to exceed the competitor and hopefully win.
Like
it's
eBay.
It's a great strategy.
Right.
It's a great strategy. Yeah, like that's right. eBay does work like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So as you might guess, the technique is primarily used in real estate markets that are highly competitive. This market.
Yes.
And this market's going to be like this for the next few years. I think it's probably going to take 2 or 3 years to get to a normal market, the way we're going.
I hope.
Yeah. It would be nice.
It would be.
But anyway. For example, when they have a very tight market in, like, Philly, we're seeing bidding wars, first-time escalation clauses could be a really valuable tool.
Right.
Now, I guarantee you, a bunch of agents that have got their licenses after probably 2005, 6. Have never even heard of an escalation clause, have no clue how this works. They're just hoping that when they submit their bid, they win.
Right.
And they don't understand the listing agents are, they're a whole different animal.
Right.
The difference, I tell the teach school when I teach that to classes, I say, you want to be a listing agent? They go, yeah. I said, think about getting listings. It's a mindset.
Yes.
If you, it's like focusing on anything else. If you focus on it, you will get listings. And listing agents work differently. They think differently.
Right.
And like when I was selling residential, just strictly residential, I was like 80-20 listings. They actually tried to avoid buyers, you know. I'd rather just have the buyer bring me a deal, their agent bring me a deal, and sit down. I remember in 2003-04, I remember sitting at a house, this one house I remember in particular. I was up in Somerton. It was a big old house.
Okay.
And I was sitting there. I had 8 offers on the table. And people were showing the house while I was sitting there with 8 offers. And they were going, we'll beat that. That's how crazy it was.
Wow.
And then when I closed them, I would pick the best one. It was over. It wasn't like, you know, they were all full price or above.
Right.
So my seller said, we're done. So there was no, and then they, all these agents would cry to me, well, why didn't you call me back? We would have went up. Well, like, I can't read your mind. And you know what the sales price was. I remember saying to people, the house, say, example, the house was 200. Why don't you offer 205 and 100 in case there's a 205.
Right.
I said, because if there's a lawyer involved, the 100 wins. I remember winning bids on not doing home inspections, giving certs rather than a home inspection, because the seller thought that would be better. I'm going to have a roofer, an electrician, and a plumber look at everything.
Right.
But, I mean, they just thought they were scared of a home inspection, so they would take my offer because it had no home inspection. We're going to see that soon.
Oh, you think?
There's going to be a couple of them. Some agents are going to cave. Well, we won't even do a home inspection.
Right.
We'll buy you a home warranty. That's what the strategy was. I remember that. We'll buy you a home warranty and no home inspection. Like that, as an agent, I'd be very nervous.
I would be nervous. If I was a buyer's agent, I would never, ever recommend someone doesn't have a home inspection.
I know, because it takes all the liability off us.
Right.
But
due diligence.
It could come to that point. Mm. I remember that. That was a problem. I remember certs.
I remember
and
certs
waiving
too,
home,
and typing it in your
waiving your home inspections. I remember that. Well, this looking at multiple offers. Well, this one doesn't have a home inspection.
Right.
They figured that's one less headache, and there might not have been nothing wrong with the house.
Right.
And they could luck out and never have a problem, but it was one less thing the seller had to worry about.
Right.
You know, besides the appraisal. So in the appraisal, we weren't worried about back then. Everything appraised. So anyway, so this technique can come in really handy for a buyer that needs to win.
Right.
Now, should you use an escalation clause? It depends on your situation, your market, and your seller. If you think it fits, talk with your real estate agent, and there are some things to consider. How competitive is it, really? You should only use an escalation clause if you're told specifically that you're going against multiple offers. Now, here's where agents grew up. And I always tell them in class, and you've seen me do it. You go into a seller's house, and the seller's there. You ask, Mr. Seller, how many showings have you had? Most agents come in and give a card and say, hi, I'm from Red, White, and Blue. I'm going to take them on a tour. And they go ahead. And then they walk at the door and say, nice to see you, Mr. We'll let you know.
Right.
If the seller's standing there, I ask questions. How many showings have you had? Your buyer's standing right there. Do you have any offers? Oh, yeah, we got like 2. We're expecting 2 more. That's what the agent told me. Mr. Seller, when do you want to settle? June 15th. That's a clue.
Mm-hmm.
Like the one deal I just got, the only reason we got it was because we could settle the end of June. Everybody else wrote deals 30 days out.
Right.
Seller couldn't settle 30 days out, but it didn't ask. They don't talk to the co-op.
Right.
So there's all kinds of things here that you got to take advantage of. Otherwise, you could put yourself in an awkward position if you don't watch what you're doing. Like, if you're going against multiple bids, while it's easy to feel like somebody might swoop in and outbid you, make sure that's actually a possibility. If you're doing an escalation clause on a dog of a house and nobody else is bidding, you could overpay.
Right.
Right. So, you ought to understand the market. That's like when we did CE in last May.
Mm-hmm.
I was in front of a whole group of these were agents, right, coming for 2 years continuing ed. And I asked what kind of market we're in, and like 5 of them said a buyer's market. I don't know, man. You got to be careful who you hire, you know? Are escalation clauses common in your market? Some markets. It's not common in our market. I really haven't been hearing about it. Now, there's probably some smart agents in our market doing it, like you.
I do do it.
But, like, most of them are not.
I teach my students about it as
Most of them are not talking about this. That's why we're going to bring it up at our office meeting next week, and we're going to have a little discussion about this. How much should you pay more than your competitors? In some markets, an escalation clause might only be $500, or $1,000 will do the trick. Get you over that full price.
I ask my clients, what is the number, okay, what is the number that's going to make you, you know, if they turn around and say, if I have to call you tomorrow and say you didn't win this, okay, the number that's not going to make you cry. That's, you know, I just want your top-of-the-line number that if you lost this, you're not going to be upset and you're ready to move on. And that's the number that we go up to.
Right. And there's got to be some strategy. Most of the time, you're going to have to guide them because they're not going to know what to do. In other markets where you're bidding on a home that will sell for, like, say, over $600,000, you may need to beat competing offers by, like, a few grand.
Right.
You know, the higher the number, the higher it's going to go. Are you ready and willing to go that high, making doubly sure you're willing to be absolutely tip-top of your escalation clause? The very fact that you're submitting an escalation clause says you likely have to raise your price over the initial offer. So, I mean, like, you want to go into this thing with a strategy in your head. A lot of it, I look them in the eye and say, you want this house?
Yeah.
And, you know, they nod. And then I say, no, you want this house? You can't see the nod on the radio.
Yeah.
But anyway, I make them say it. Yes, I want this house. And then now they all psychologically become a buyer.
Right.
And then this kind of stuff happens easier, you know? Because some of them, they don't know. They're not watching the news. They're living their life.
Right.
They're not watching what's happening with real estate. So then they go in and they figure they're going to take this lowball shot and try to save 10 grand. First of all, you're not saving $10,000 in your pocket. This is in your mortgage. This extra 10 that you're trying to save, you're not going to be able to spend it on the kitchen.
Right.
You know? This is over 30 years. Anyway, like, you have to have these kind of fights. I just had a long fight with the other one, with one of my buyers, and he's a good friend of mine, but, like, we had this battle, you know? This is not going in your pocket.
Right.
You know? Anyway, so how will this affect your loan? So you got to make sure that you're pre-approved enough that you can escalate, because you don't want to, like, escalate and then find out you can't escalate.
You also want to make sure. That's why I do two estimate of closing costs. I do it for the offer we're putting in, and I put it at the highest price so that they can see the payment on both and understand what they're, you know, on the lower end, what
and
they're committing to, and the higher end they're committing
that's
to.
That's right. And that's the reason I always do an estimated closing cost before I take a buyer out.
Right.
So I tell them, like, listen, if we go in Warminster and the taxes are $4,000, and then we go into Warwick and the taxes are $5,600, this is the difference in your payment. So if the taxes are higher, maybe we shop a little lower, and if the taxes are lower, we shop a little higher.
Right.
And then they understand.
Yeah.
But not all agents do things like that.
Well, I always explain, you know, what goes into the actual mortgage payment, because most people don't even understand that as well.
No. I usually do it by hand so they understand it, because the trend one is confusing. So, and then make sure you ask for proof. If you do win the home based on your escalation clause, ask for proof that there was a competing offer and some agent wasn't just jacking you, trying to get you to go up, and it turned out you were competing against yourself.
Well, it says it right in the escalation clause that they have to give you a copy of the highest, you know, the bidder
that's
you...
all ethics.
Yeah.
You either have it or you don't. You can't teach it.
That's true.
So anyway, so also remember that just because you use an escalation clause, there's no guarantee your bid will be chosen because somebody else could have something in it too. It's not the only tool at your disposal. After all, price isn't the only terms in a contract. Settlement date is really important.
It is.
That could be worth 20 grand sometimes. Because that, if it's somebody that's not about money, it's about timing in their life.
Convenience.
You know? I've seen sellers shock me, take 20,000 less because of the date.
Highest isn't always best.
That's right. Earnest money, how much the contingencies are also important. When it appropriate, everything from offering all cash, waiving certain contingencies, writing cover letters. Writing cover letters.
I do that.
Is a big time. I call them fluff letters.
Yeah.
I used to write them all the time for my buyers. We really loved your house. I'd write this flowery
thing. I can see raising my children here.
Yeah. I had an agent one time. She was stuck in a deal that they really want the house. This older woman had a house. And some other guy went to buy it because it was a double lot, and he went to knock it down and put two up. And she didn't. She got wind of it. So she won't close either offer. My agent came to me. She goes, what should I do? I used to say fluff letters. I called them fluff letters. They're like, hey, we loved your house, and we just picture raising our family in your house. And I would write that little letter up in script and all, have them sign it. They went to a card store, got a really nice, what's the fancy cards?
Hallmark
card. Really nice Hallmark card, and wrote a real nice thing and went over and took it to her, and she took her offer $25,000 less because she wanted a family in her house.
Yeah.
So you never know.
You don't.
You don't
really
know.
Don't.
It's not about money. That's why I tell the agents, the book, the Millionaire Real Estate book, on the top of the book it says that it's not about the money.
Right.
You got to understand that. If you do the right thing, the money always comes. Anyway, so cover letters are important. Offering a rent back that can be used to make your offer stand out, whatever.
Right.
You know, they're the kind of techniques that this is why you need a good agent and not the first person that answers the phone.
Right.
But that's still statistically true. The number one statistic still is buyers hire the first agent they meet. Sellers hire within two.
No, I just recently had a woman who is, working with me, and how she found me is she took a month and researched all the agents in the area.
Oh, really?
And the deciding factor was all of my testimonials that she read through.
Testimonials are important.
And she said, everyone said the same thing about you, that you're just so friendly.
Warm and fuzzy. I get that warm and fuzzy thing a lot.
Yeah, well, I guess obviously in this
case
it
works. No, but you know
what?
Somebody did some research.
Yeah.
That's not the average buyer.
No, it isn't.
That's not the average buyer.
She's a seller, actually. So.
Oh,
so,
yeah. Mm-hmm. So they did some research.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing to do. You figure your biggest investment or in your life, you would want to hire the right person. But they don't.
I even said to the, I said, I teach that to the students. I said, you'll research all these other things and you won't take the time to research who you're using as an agent, or even verifying their license.
Yeah. Nothing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do they have a license?
Yeah. So, of course, I said,
and they
don't want to check.
All do. They all say they do.
Yeah.
But they don't all do.
Well, isn't that the number one?
Number one violation in Pennsylvania is
practicing
without a license.
Yeah.
Yep. Unbelievable.
Scary.
All right, so we're going to come back and talk about the real estate school.
Okay.
So stay tuned. And Stephanie Burke sitting in for Deanne Katsaris. We appreciate it. We'll be right back.
In today's economy, you need a financial institution you can trust. Did you know that if you live, work, worship, or study in the city of Philadelphia, you can open an account at the Philadelphia Federal Credit Union? They provide the friendly, personalized service that you expect for your banking needs. PFCU is member-owned, so all profits go back to the community and back to you as lower fees and better rates. If you're looking to make the switch to a credit union, look no further than the Philadelphia Federal Credit Union. We're not here for our profits, we're here for yours. Federally insured by NCUA.
All right, welcome back to Good News in Real Estate. All positive all the time here on WWDP 860 AM. And our good wishes go out to Deanne Katsaris, who's got the flu.
Get well soon.
Yeah, I think she got it, though. She was like flying around, partying somewhere, probably got on a plane.
Oh.
But it's getting to be about Greece time for her. 3 weeks in Greece last year she went.
Nice.
Yeah, she got four assistants.
Mm.
Mrs. Burke, how many assistants you got?
Only one.
And then you start building that team, you'll have more time.
Yeah.
So anyway, that escalation clause thing is a great tool.
Yes.
And there's not too many agents I hear even talk about that kind of stuff. But, like, you need to know the little tricks to help win.
Yes.
The point is, I tell my buyers, like, I don't do that many buyers, but when I'm dealing with them, I say, the point is to win.
Right.
Like, sometimes it gets about ego. The point is to get the house, rather than get caught up over something stupid.
Right.
I just did a deal with a crazy agent that drove me nuts. She kept telling me how long she was in the business. Like, 21, I was biting my tongue because I wanted to make this happen. And finally, when she hit around 20, 21 times, you know how long I've been in the business? I've had to give her the pretzel line. I said, you know what? I said, that's it. That and 50 cents will get me a pretzel.
Right.
So, let's stay on topic here and make this thing happen. And she was the battle all the way to the end. And then she did something really unethical at the very end. Tried to ambush me at settlement after we all had met and talked at the house and then sat in the lobby together and talked. And then right before we walked into a settlement room, she tried to ambush us for $1,000.
Oh.
And I'm telling you, she was...
That and 50 cents will get you a pretzel.
She's in the wrong... A little pond with a big fish because I was ticked. But anyway. So
I
anyway, so... We got a little couple minutes to kill, so I want to talk about the school. So tell me how you like teaching the newbies, man.
I love it. I really do.
And the school is starting to really get busier and busier and busier. It's growing. We have the new location in Mount Airy.
We're getting great referrals.
We're getting really good testimonials.
Yes.
And testimonials are, like you were saying about your client, testimonials are very important, especially for millennials.
Yes.
Millennials really read testimonials. I had a few calls today. I don't know why today, before we did the show, I must have had about 35 students call me today.
Wow.
And a lot of them say, I checked out everybody else, and I read your testimonials. Because those testimonials are important.
Yeah,
and I love the newbies, man. Like, I taught Saturday at your spot,
yep.
And then I went to... Oh, I got a great story. I got to tell you this one on the air. This is a great story. So anyway, I come in lead generation,
right.
Taught the 80-20 rule, taught how to hire an assistant, how to build a team, and I have my owner with me, Evelyn.
Right.
Right? She's 7 years old. She owns a real estate company. She's got a Note 5. She's got business cards. She gave everybody a business, her new business cards. So she sat through 2 hours of that class. So then we left there and had to be at the other school in Mount Airy in a half an hour
right.
to teach that class again. So I do another. I'm into it about an hour or so. And Evie's just, she's been really cool. She's sitting there listening with her legs crossed. Like, and she's 7, right? And I was like getting nervous about this because it's a long time. But she's like, this is her school. This is her business. She's
yes.
into it. Like, people don't believe that. I keep telling them this and they're like, so anyway, I get into about hiring an assistant. And if you hire an assistant, you stay in the 20% and your business will increase. I said, but a lot of agents make mistakes. They'll hook up with another agent and they'll meet an agent and they'll say, you know, if we work together, you could help weed all my stuff and I can help train you. And it sounds like a win-win. But the problem with it is, soon as you do that, something doubles.
You're 80%.
Right. So we were talking. So I quiz the classes as I do this, right? So I drew a circle on the board, and then I drew another circle, and I said, it sounds like a good plan, but what doubled? And they're all staring at the two circles. And I'm waiting, and I'm saying something doubled. And they're saying the business doubled, the lead generation doubled, everything doubled.
The money doubled.
And then all of a sudden, out of the corner, a little voice goes, the 80%. Evelyn pops it right out, the 80%. And she gives them all a look like, you're supposed to know that. Like, I'm a business person. It was great. It was good. I wish I had it on tape.
How adorable.
And they were all there, like, they couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
And she was like, it was obvious. All right, so with that, we're going to wrap it up.
So you can email Mark your questions at 8029@comcast.net, or you can call him at 267-266-5501.
So
you're missing numbers.
I'm missing a number. How to get a hold of you?
You can get a hold of me at Phillip, which is PhilaRegirl@gmail.com, or you can call me at 267-320-6262. A special thank you to our sponsors for helping us to get out the good news in real estate to you.
And to all of our faithful listeners for keeping us tuned in every week.
So if you want to become a sponsor or guest on our show, give us a call, 267-266-5501.
So with that, have a great week. I'm Mark Cumberland.
And I'm Stephanie Burke, not your mortgage mom.
You've been listening to Good News in Real Estate.
All positive, all the time.